is obviously when we signed We Are the Ocean, Alfie was 17 and the others were like 18 and 19. So.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You're listening to episode 94 of Sappening Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and I'm getting a vibe that this episode will be nicely pressed, sealed, and collected like vinyl.
I'm ill. Hiya, everyone. Hiya, everyone. Sean here. So yesterday, I was recording with my band Raiders, and we're doing a secret cover we've been asked to do, and my voice is gone. So please forgive me for the way I currently sound, and also please, please forgive us as a podcast for all of Morgan's puns he's ever made. Jesus Christ.
I know. Yeah, I did struggle on this week. I mean, but I think I did well. I think it suited what I was going for.
I done. Anyway, this week's guests are Wes and Mies from Hassle Records.
Yes. Yes, our good friends in Hassle Records are celebrating their 15th year anniversary. They have a remarkable story as a label. They've helped release some vastly important albums in our scene, from Alexis on Fire, Alkaline Trio, We Are the Ocean, Canterbury, Frank Iroh, and so many more, including new artists like Brutus, Foxjaw, and Press Club. So we thought, what better time now to have a chat with them, pick their brains about everything going on and what really goes on behind the scenes in the industry.
Yeah, it was an absolutely nice and lovely chat with Wes and Mies. Can you explain? I know we go into this when in the interview you asked kind of Wes what he does, and I know he kind of like skimmed around it. So have you got like a proper job title for him there that he didn't give us?
So Wes is the co-founder and one of the founders of Hassle Records, and then Mies is a project manager. So the two of them basically all four of us kind of have a round table discussion, don't we, about life as an independent label, kind of industry secrets, how everything started, and just mad stories from their first signing of Juliet and the Licks, why some of our favourite bands didn't quite make it like we thought they would, their current roster, the future, and one band that got away, they almost signed, that will blow your mind.
A little bit gutted for Hassle, but also very, very chuffed for Hassle for everything they've achieved over the last 15 years. So, yeah, congratulations to our friends at Hassle Records for going for 15 years. Thank you very much for giving us the time. And thank you very much for putting out some of those records. They were absolutely, some amazing, amazing records. So, yeah, congratulations to them and thank you very much.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting one. As I said, we touch on a lot of different subjects, but as well with all these celebrations, the label are actually re-releasing 15 of their favourite records on vinyl in a limited two-colour press. There's so many of our favourite acts, as we said, like We Are the Ocean, 4 Year Strong, who was last week's guest, Frank Iroh, and more. They're available from October 30th, but you can pre-order those right now if you head over to their website, hasslerecords.com. That's hasslerecords.com.
I like how you said it twice. Like, we've said Hassle Records about 7 times now, and you were like,
yeah,
Hassle Records, that's Hassle Records. Right, guys, if you haven't realise this week's episode is with Hassle Records.
So just making sure, Sean, just in case they might think it's a .org or .net or some things like that. But yeah, it's going to be a great chat. Very excited about it. Talk about loads of our favourite bands. But speaking of things happening in the industry, of course, last week, Raiders, your band, released your new single, Destructobot. You have a video coming out tomorrow. What's up?
Yes. Well, Saturday, the 12th of September. Originally, we were going to go for Friday to keep the releases every Friday, you know, because that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, God put September the 11th on a Friday. So everybody in my band was like, maybe we should not do it on that day. So we haven't. So we've literally moved our video back a day. So it comes out on September the 12th. So yeah, if you go to YouTube now and it's Saturday, or Gone Saturday, check out youtube.com/RaidersUK and you'll be able to watch the lyric video for Destructobot, which has some fantastic characters involved. So please check it out. And if you haven't heard Destructobot already, please go to Twitter, Instagram or Facebook, Raiders Band UK, check it out, or go wherever you stream music, type in Raiders UK and Destructobot. It's a ripper. Please give it a listen.
It is a ripper. Those people have been sexy dancing to it online from what I've heard. But while you're online as well, make sure to head over to our social media pages at SapninPod on Twitter and Instagram to give us a cheeky follow.
Yes, please do. That's at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD. If I did that any slower than normal, that's because I was trying to write it the same time as saying it. And I can't. So, what a weird experiment to try while recording a podcast. At SAPPENINPOD, at SAPPENINPOD. My throat is killing me.
Oh, well, if you'd like to save Sean's throat, the best place to do that is by going to patreon.com/SAPPENINPOD. Well, not only can you become involved in our wonderful community, give back to the podcast and make it better and bigger than ever before, but we can use some of that support to buy Sean throat lozenges to help.
Lozenges? Ah, the old throat lozenge. That's where I was going wrong. I've been using throat lozenges.
Exactly.
I needed throat lozenges.
Yeah.
So which are more expensive. So yeah, please join our Patreon. Go for the maddest tier you can. Make your own tier. If you're a millionaire, if you're listening to this and you're a millionaire, do me a favour. Help me and Morgan out. Chuck us a couple of grand or something, just so we can get out of the red and just try and survive. Please! I am literally this has gone from a podcast, it's just become a begging thing. Please, if you're super rich and it literally doesn't mean a single thing to you, like you could just fucking laugh away fucking a grand. Just think about sorting the boys out, please, because Jesus Christ, this is taking a toll on me.
That's patreon.com/SAPPENINPOD. And if you're not a millionaire, if you're not a millionaire and you're like, oh, those boys need a coffee or hot chocolate, my preference, you know, small donations help as well. They're all help. And as I said, you get to become a part of a community that loves us and...
Loves us?
Well, they love everyone. Everyone loves each other, basically.
Well, they love each other. Yeah, they love each other.
I got sidetracked because I said the word love, and I remember two of our patrons got married secretly this past week.
They did, so, yes. Congratulations, to Mitch and Emily, who did a secret wedding. Little bit pissed because I was invited to the actual wedding they were meant to be having.
What's that about? Why weren't we there?
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, let's get on with the episode. We can maybe argue about this later.
Yeah, we've rambled on. But yes, this is episode 94 of SAPPENINPOD Podcast with the wonderful Hassle Records. Check it out.
Lovely.
SAPPENINPOD.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin! Yes! Yes! All four of us. We never know how that's going to go. There's always someone who looks massively confused, and that's fine. Yes! This week's guests are Mis and Wes from the fantastic Hassle Records. Yes. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Good to be here.
Very well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a bit of a grey day in Wales, which is most days normally. So, just getting on with it and trying it. But, I've been very, very excited to talk to you guys, about this. So, technically, you guys are our first record label that we've had on the podcast as well. So, we've gone 90 episodes now, and you're our first record label. So, I guess we have a lot of questions, about stuff like that. So,
there's going to be a lot for us to touch on throughout this conversation, but let's start with the fact that it's actually Hassle Records' 15th year anniversary. You've got so much planned now for the rest of the year, kind of celebrating this and everything, but let's take a little bit step back for listeners who aren't aware. Can you explain a little bit about Hassle and both your roles in the record label individually?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we actually started as an independent label about 17 years ago.
Okay.
We started off as Eat Sleep Records and Sawpoint, and we did a lot of the American emo and pop punk stuff at the time. The problem was it was a legal problem, and we couldn't carry on with the name, so we split the two labels out, and we created Hassle Records as our kind of rock, metal, emo, whatever you want to call that kind of heavy genre of music. So Hassle Labels was formed 15 years ago off the back of starting Sawpoint, basically. And I used to work for a bigger company and work for bands like Muse and Garbage and stuff like that. Nice. So he put out a Peter Andre record once.
Nice.
Yes.
Brilliant.
It was the biggest independent single of the year. So actually.
Ooh, go on, Peter. Stop
yes. You should come. Yeah, you should come back and do like an emo mysterious girl or something like that. That was very on trend.
He probably wouldn't get involved, to be honest. Good luck to him.
And Mies, how did you come first involved in the label and everything?
So I've been with the label about just over 8 years now, so just over half of that time. But I was actually interned for the label before that. So I interned for about a year part-time and then came in full-time. So my role is effectively like a day-to-day label manager. So I'll deal with a lot of the day-to-day communication with PRs, with bands, manufacturing, and then Wes and I just constantly communicate on the side of that about different projects and timelines and, the greater kind of outlook.
We plan about 2 years ahead, so we're doing a lot of planning all the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess people don't expect you to be that far ahead. So I guess you're working on projects for the end of 22 now then as well.
Yeah, we've got one thing we're looking at for 2022 as a firm thing to do. Obviously, you have bands releasing records and then doing new records. So you have things cycling around all the time. So, we know what our 2021 looks like, COVID dependent. You know, we've got a band like Press Club who are Australian, demoing the new album, and they can't even meet up at the moment. Because, so it's good. I don't know when they're going to be able to do that because they've had a resurgence there. So,
yeah, has it affected the label in any other ways? The COVID, the pandemic?
Yeah, well, and the shops have been open.
Yeah.
So we still sell quite a lot of physical stuff. We sell a lot of vinyl, so that's a problem. And then we sell a lot on the road, you know, tour sales, so the bands haven't been touring, so that's a problem. And then, of course, the bands aren't promoting the music they do, so it's the main life side of what we do is very, very important, as you know. So that's kind of triple whammy there, but obviously we're not in the same position as our friends in live music who have got, you know, they've got no activity at the minute, so it's difficult for them.
Yeah. Well, Wes, as you mentioned, with Hassle Records starting in 2005, you said you were part of different labels before, working in the industry for a long time. But what was the early days of the record label like? I mean, when you first got Hassle as its own independent label, what was the day-to-day basis? How did everything really come about after that? What was the initial story of the beginnings of the label?
Well, myself and Nigel Adams, Nigel runs the Full-Time Hobby because we have two labels. Full-Time Hobby does all the indie stuff. And Mason and I run Hassle doing all the sort of heavier stuff. Nigel and I have been friends for we worked together 20 years ago and our old company was being sold to Warner Brothers. My old boss was like, oh, come work at Warner's and come work for me there. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to work for a lot of bands I don't like, you know. So I remember the first thing he showed me he was doing was the new Paris Hilton single. I'm like, thank fuck, I'm not doing that.
Okay, now.
And, you know, fair play to my old boss because he's a very successful businessman, but I don't know if you want to work for music we like, you know? So what happened was me and Nigel got together, same ethos, decided to start our own indie label, and that's kind of, anybody can do it, really, you know? Everybody should have a go if they want to have a go, you know? Why not?
That's awesome. Yeah, I read that, you guys' first signing was Juliet and the Licks.
Yeah, to Hassle it was. Yeah, Chris, who did the job that Mies does before Mies joined, it was funny because I'd gone to the office one morning and he said, oh, have you heard of Juliet Lewis, the actress? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And he said, well, she's got new music. And I'm like, well, it's bound to be terrible, isn't it? Actors and actresses do not make good, in my opinion, musicians. But, you know, what do I know? But anyway, played the EP and I thought, wow, this is really good. So it was, and then we got in touch and they're like, yeah, we need help in Europe. Can you do it? And I'm like, yep, we can do it. And that's how we started.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. And it did really, I mean, it was really big for us. Really big. I don't know if you remember, but he was doing 2,000 to 3,000 cap venues in the end.
Yeah. And over this 15 years, I mean, Hassle Records have helped release and worked with so many iconic albums in that time with some bands very important in the scene, from not only now with the likes of The Used and Frank Iero, but Canterbury, We Are The Ocean, Alexis on Fire. The list is endless. In that time, what's been some of your favourite memories working with bands? And just how have you seen the evolution of working in the industry?
Look, you know, music, like technology in the world, is changing, I'm not going to say daily, but definitely every weekly, if not monthly. So when we first started, we'd sell a lot of CDs, you know, and we didn't sell much vinyl, actually. And then, of course, iTunes came along and destroyed the CD. Then just when you get used to iTunes, streaming comes along. So that, you know, in terms of the way you do stuff, that changes all the time. Vinyl is now very big for us. Some of our bands are doing 4,000 to 5,000 units on vinyl, which is good, you know, so that's good. I think that's quite reassuring because with a piece of vinyl, you know, it's a piece of art. The cover, what it is, you know, the vinyl itself, the fact that the band puts so much effort into it, and then we do, I think that's like a complimentary thing. So that's quite good to see. So, and then musically, yeah, when we first started, the whole emo punk thing was very, very big, wasn't it? You know, it was a big scene. And that's definitely been driven underground now. I'm sure we'll know that. You've only got to look at the Reading Festival lineup now to... 15 years ago to now, it's completely different, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and then who knows what the next scene will be coming through, you know, because the kids listening to all the trap and that kind of music now, I'm sure, pretty sure the younger brothers are thinking, God, shit, I don't want to listen to that. So, but Lise, do you want to jump in, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Wes kind of hit the nail on the head there in terms of it's just things have constantly evolved over the past, 10 years in the music industry in terms of distribution and scenes. It's really weird because time sort of has flown as well. I mean, it only feels like 2 weeks ago we were celebrating our 10th anniversary. And as we kind of said to begin with, because we're always planning like 2 years ahead, time just goes even quicker. Like we're constantly looking so far ahead. So it's quite weird looking back on the last like 8 years that I've been there and yeah, how quick that's gone and how things have changed. And worse says, obviously technology has definitely driven that a lot. But one of the constant things for us is, in terms of the scenes and stuff that come and go and ebb and flow, is that one of the things for us is we always have just worked with stuff that we just genuinely love. That's always been our ethos. Like we're a really small team. Every band that we sign, we have a long conversation internally, and we will spend a long time chatting to bands and management, whoever's involved in the team as well. And it's just something that we love, and therefore we've just, you know, we trust our own opinions and our own gut in that sense. And that's one of the, you know, fantastic things about our job. Yeah, we're not dictated to by, you know, the head of a corporation. We just follow what we want to work with, which is amazing.
Hmm.
And we try and have a good laugh at the same time.
That too.
That's important.
Yeah, I did read in the press PR about you sending copies of the DVD Heavy Metal Parking Lot to bands, apparently.
Yeah, that like, you know, 10 years, 15 years ago, and bands used to come through, especially the American bands, you know, they'd be in the bands a lot. We'd give them DVDs of that. Because I think it's a brilliant piece of, I don't know, it's just brilliant, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's brilliant. No, I read that and I thought that's genius. And your mantra, we don't really give a fuck, but we really do care. Is that what, did I get that in the right order? Yeah, but we do really care. Yeah, I thought that was genius because until I read that sentence this morning, I'd never thought of it like that. But that's literally how I feel about... Yeah, the majority of things. It's like, I don't care. Since my old band split up or whatever, I start a new band now, and that is literally the ethos of us moving forward. And it's awesome to see from a record label as well. And how did that mantra kind of come about? Is it just how you guys are as people, or is it just over time the industry has made you like that?
For me, it's kind of like, I don't know, it must go back to when I was younger, you know, playing in bands and stuff. Because I was at school, long-haired lout, you know, and playing in bands. And, you know, the girls didn't really like me very much, which was a little bit of a piss of it, you know. So me and that group of lads used to hang out and play in bands. Again, we didn't give a fuck, you know, we were just having a good time, you know. And it kind of evolved into a career. So it's kind of gone with me, that. It's kind of a powerful thing because a friend of mine really took the piss out of me. And... because I, you know, you work for Peter Andre, music shit, it's all that stuff, and this is my old company. And I'm like, yeah, but we just sold 1 million singles. And we're an independent company. You know, we're battling against Sony and Warner, and, you know, I don't really give a fuck what you think. And Peter Andre's a really nice bloke as well, so actually, I'm going to work hard for him. So it's kind of gone through the whole of what we've done, really, I think.
Yeah. So, as I said, there's loads of things we kind of want to touch on, but I want to dissect a few things a second, because... people listen to this are huge music fans and really want to know the behind the scenes on a lot of things inside the industry. And I think maybe a modern misconception is when bands on a record label that, you know, they've made it, that's when the hard work kind of stops. But really, that's when it begins in a lot of ways. So can you talk a little bit about your working relationship with bands on that side of things, being able to help them with helping yourself as well? I mean, how does that relationship kind of go hand in hand?
I suppose, like, we have a we obviously have a responsibility for the artists that we work with. So that's why, as I mentioned before, we spend a lot of time discussing internally and with artists and management before we start working with a band. And that's one of the things that we talk about with them really early, is actually how much work needs to go into it. As you say, like, actually the sort of getting on board and developing the team is actually sort of step one, really, of trying to move things forwards and trying to develop. And as I say, we feel a real responsibility towards our bands in that, and we're there to guide and to develop and, you know, we to build their careers as best as we possibly can.
Yeah, we always, it's a two-way relationship. We consult with them on pretty much everything. You know, we're an independent, it's artistic control. If a band wants to do it a certain way, we'll advise them. And 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10, a band will probably have an agreement on how they do things. And every now and then we don't. And sometimes, you know, the band are wrong and sometimes we're wrong, you know, but it's definitely a collaboration, you know. There's no, we're not into butting heads with bands. That's just rubbish. What's the point of that? It's too hard. It's too difficult to break bands. If you're fighting with your bands as well as everybody else, what is the point?
Hmm.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, how do you find like the last crop of bands that you've signed or you've put records out for? How did you come across those bands? Was there any like them self-submitting or did you go out and find those guys?
Bits of everything, you know. A lot of it's recommendation from people we trust. It might be keeping your ear to the ground and small blogs playing stuff, you know, because they're locally from somewhere. I mean, Meese bought in Press Club. How did you find them, Meese?
So Press Club, Press Club and Pagan, another one of our sort of recent Australian bands, both of those I discovered by listening to Triple J in Australia, listening to local radio, and they were both part of the Short, Fast, Loud show, both championed on there, and also part of the sort of unearthed Triple J incentive that they have going. So, that's how I found both of those, just by listening to local radio. And you know, the same thing here, you know, we listen to obviously Dan's show a lot, and we know Dan and producer, and we speak to them a lot. And the same with like Alex Baker, he's been such a great advocate of new music. Yeah, listening to those guys, looking at those blogs and what else he's covering, and just listening to a lot of music.
I mean, Lonely the Brave was recommendations from people we trust. Petrol Girls was a guy who runs a college down in Worcester, I think. And I think the band were playing there and he just thought they were the best band he'd seen since, you know, since Rage Against the Machine. You know, it's those kinds of things. And occasionally we get sent things that actually into the office that we get a chance to listen to. And occasionally we'll follow that as well, you know. So it's every kind of source.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just wanted to find out for the sake of listeners who just are in bands and just want to find out.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people actually realise how things work with stuff like that. And I think another big misconception is the difference between independent labels and major labels. I'm sure you've had to deal with that as well from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, and there's different types of independent labels because you get independent labels that are very, very big, like Domino and Beggars, Beggars Banquet, but they still have an independent ethos. And then you've got the majors. And, you know, I'm not into major bashing because we've worked with them a lot. We've got lots of good friends at majors. And I think the majors are really good at certain things. I mean, Biffy is still on Warner, aren't they? So they've done 6 albums with Warner now.
Yeah.
So if Biffy weren't happy with Warner, they'd have been off Warner. So it works for some bands. And it's just a different approach. And obviously, with a major, you tend to add 1 or 2 noughts to budgets, being quite simple about it. And that's good and bad, because if you add 1 or 2 noughts to a budget, you've got to add 1 or 2 noughts to sales to make it work. So it's pros and cons.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mentioned a whole list of bands you've worked with over the last, you know, decade and a half already. But what's some of your favourite campaigns, releases, and just relationships you've been able to do to work with individuals and stuff in the past? Is there any one that really comes to mind on just a great time you had putting out a record together?
Well, I have to say, most of the bands we work with, it's not like having a job, you know. It is fun, you know. We enjoy it. Taking a band like We Are The Ocean from nothing to A-listed at Radio 1 over a period of 5 or 6 years, that was, doing stuff like that is satisfying, you know, because you actually, I don't know, it's kind of proves it, what you were thinking was right, and it's good for the band. And so doing things like that, you know, I mean, a band like Brutus, I mean, Belgium 3-piece that are growing now quite rapidly, and I reckon that third album's going to come out and we could chart it all over Europe, and people are going to say, who's this new band? And we would have been working on them for 5 years, you know?
Yeah, Britain's been one that's been really enjoyable to watch, because it has just been really natural, organic development. They're really nice people. They work really hard. And we've just been realistic all the way through of our aims and how we want to develop the band and been really honest with them. We've got a great relationship with them. And it's been brilliant. I mean, you know, they're selling out shows across Europe. They've just started touring in the US, just growing internationally. And like Wes says, this is a three-piece punk band from Belgium, you know? So it's amazing to see that.
Yeah.
For the Nest album, we actually went out to their hometown. We spent the afternoon doing the nitty-gritty artwork, bio, you know, all that sort of stuff, all the technical stuff. Then in the evening, we had a really nice meal in some lovely Belgian restaurant. Then they took us to the local bar, and we got there at 11 on a Wednesday night, and it was pretty busy, and we left at 1 o'clock. It was fucking getting busier. It's just great times to do stuff like that and see other, you know, other countries and towns. And, you know, those towns have got great music scenes, you know?
Yeah.
Really good music scenes.
I think another one that we worked with recently that sort of stands out is probably working with Frankie Aero as well. Because what was amazing with Frankie is he's just such a gentleman. Mm. I mean, I know you guys have spoken to him before as well. He's just such a nice guy, so down to earth. And we just clicked in the way that, you know, he had this new solo project that he wanted to get out there. And he believed in what we were saying, and we really believed in the project. And that was just brilliant.
Yeah, he's a top chap. In the biggest band in the world. Doesn't have to be lovely. Is lovely. Great. What a guy.
Exactly. Just spending time with him, and you know, I went on a few promo trips with him into Europe, and obviously just I could just listen to him talk all day. Just the amount of stories that he has. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. On that theme, where you're talking about like how nice someone is, have you had any? I guess this is gossipy of me, but have you had any nightmares working with any bands? You don't have to name the bands, but I'm just...
We have, you know, it's about 5% nightmares.
Which is also an excellent band name, 5% nightmares.
And who knows why that happens? You can get a clash of personalities, I guess. You can get, if it hasn't gone quite as well as the band wanted, that's tricky. And that's a shame, because obviously we don't want it to go badly. But sometimes it doesn't always go to plan, you know? So, yeah, the answer is you definitely have it difficult. You know, what we're doing is art, not science. You know, there's no correct answer to what we do. There's tricky moments for sure.
But with that as well, I mean, like, in negotiations with people and trying to work out how you can work together, has there ever been just a weird or random, like, obscure demand from bands thinking they can push the label, because you're a record label, they can push the boundaries and say, hey, yeah, but we want a boat, has there been any random things like that over the years?
I don't know, we've never had that, because ultimately, we've never really had that kind of, those kind of budgets.
Yeah.
So people can't take the piss because we haven't got the money for them to take the piss, you know. Yeah. So, honestly, I can't think of anything. I think people realise we do kind of say to people, what are you looking for early on? The best story I've got is we were looking, actually, I don't know if I've told you this, Mies, but when we were looking for, you know, what Mies does now, that product manager, we had some guy come in, interview for the job. And we said to him, oh, how much do you see the salary being? And he said, oh, 100 grand a year. And I'm like, it always made me angry.
Yeah, I can imagine.
How can you sit there saying you want to get paid £100,000 a year doing that kind of role at an independent record company? A product manager at a major doesn't get, you know, anywhere near that. I mean... It was beyond. So that's the kind of weirdest thing that's happened to me at Hassle, was somebody coming in saying, yeah, that was 100 grand a year. And I'm like, okay. I hope he hears this. He knows who he is as well.
Call him out. Call him out. No. What was a record that you put out that did better than expected, or was better received, or was just, I don't know, was shocking? Either way, really.
First Line of the Brave record did really well. You know, the band had been around for a while, and I mean, I loved the record, so I was pretty gung-ho about it straight from the off, but I mean, I did really, really well, that record. I still can't get why they're not actually bigger than they are, to be honest, but anyway. Yeah, our records don't tend to explode because A, budgets, and B, the kind of music it is, but I do think they're good records, and I think over a long period of time, they will stand the test of time, and actually, in 10 or 15 years' time, some of those records would have sold a lot over 10 or 15 years. I mean, that first Brutus album keeps selling. If it keeps selling for the next 15 years, it's going to sell a lot.
I suppose another one of those that sort of stands out is the Casey debut as well, Love Is Not Enough. Going from that first album to that second album, the development that they had and the amount of growth they had just because they were totally just sort of worked under their own rules, just believed 100% in what they were doing. And the development and the growth that we saw in that band across those two albums was just amazing. You know, they went to, they finished up selling out 1,000 cap venues in Germany on that second AM campaign. And it's a weird one talking about it because it's also a bit of a touchy subject just because it's one that we don't like to think about a lot because that band just could have kept going. And unfortunately, they decided it was their time to call it a day. Mm. But yeah, it was great to see how well they developed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing I was going to mention is I feel that a lot, as a music fan, that a lot of Hassle Records albums have been kind of like cult classics and ones that mean a lot more than people then kind of why I was in the charts and stuff like that. I mean, you mentioned Casey, it's been the same with Canterbury, that We Are the Ocean record, 4 Years Strong. I mean, I could sit here for ages and name so many bands, but do you think that's more of a representation of working with Hassle, that these albums become that kind of focal point in the community?
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, we don't sign bands for that specific reason. We sign because we like them. And if you like something, you're going to work harder for it. So it really is that simple. And then hopefully they go on and they either become cult classics or they have a more success, you know. So I don't want to bust any myths, but it's no more simple than that.
Yeah, I remember when I heard Dark Days by Canterbury for the first time, and I was... Well, I think the Blackout took them on tour, and I said to Canterbury, I said... when you are playing stadiums, let us open for you. Because I was convinced, like, I loved that record. It was probably on play for me for 2 years straight.
Really good record.
Oh, unbelievable. I thought they were going to be, I thought they were going to be the biggest band in Britain. But sadly, they...
Also, I think the tide was turning against that kind of band, wasn't it? Because Radio 1 stopped playing those kind of bands around that time.
Yeah.
You know... We wouldn't be able to get We Are the Ocean on the Radio 1 C list, let alone A list now. You listen to Radio 1 now, it's just nonsense, isn't it, to be honest? In terms of musical genre that I like, I mean, you speak to the head of Radio 1 and he'd tell you he's providing music that people like, but Radio 1 shouldn't do that because they're actually a state-funded body and they should play a cross-section of music. That's another conversation. So, yeah, the timing was all wrong for that band.
Yeah. Do you think sometimes, though, that can be the right... like whole aspect of it is right place, right time?
Yeah, 100%. I do, yeah. Also, in terms of where a band is at a current time, but also where a band are at in their lives, you get to a certain point in your life where you've toured for 5 years and it's exhausting. And if you're not making good money, that becomes very difficult because it puts big pressure on the bands personally, you know, relationships, husbands, wives, kids, if kids come along, you know.
Bloody kids. That's exactly what happened to me. Other people's bloody kids happened.
We like to plan for that because that's just natural path of life, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
But as well, I mean, is there any other stories of being able to work with certain bands that have just been just so joyous or just had a great time of really seeing how they evolved while working with you?
Well, Press Club are a good band to be working with because I think they've got enormous potential. You know, we're doing probably better in Germany with than we are here with them. The singer's amazing. She's just a ball of energy. And she's such a good writer and performer. And just seeing them come through is really, it's a joy. It's just difficult that COVID's happened. Are there any stories, Mace? Can you think of anything?
I'm not sure. I mean, on the Press Club side, I mean, they are they're completely independent. They're released independently in Australia, like just themselves, and outside of Europe, we just look after Europe for them. So that was really like a long conversation that we had with them before signing them, because they're inviting new people into their team, and we're, you know, thousands of miles away. I think we ended up actually re-releasing that debut album almost a year after they released it in Australia, just because it took so long to have that conversation and develop that relationship with them. And we never have a problem with that. You know, we enjoy getting to know our bands and connecting with them and making sure that we're on the same page, because we are going to be part of a team together. And it's really important that we have all those conversations. But yeah, the way the reaction to that debut record was great. And then touring, doing the festivals they have across Europe. It's just been great. It's always so enjoyable just to see bands develop. And, you know, come to, especially bands like that in Australia, come to UK or Europe with literally zero expectations, and, you know, have a bunch of fans there at the shows, a bunch of media that want to talk to them. And they're, you know, they can't believe it, thousands of miles away, that they have this kind of fan base. So being able to enable bands to do that, to develop their fan base internationally is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you said then it, like, it took a year to put the record out. So I guess my next question would be, like, what's the hardest part to deal with while working with bands? Is it the bands themselves? Is it management? Is it PR?
Well, every band's different, you know. I mean, only about half of our bands are managed. So we end up doing it kind of for them without getting paid for it, which is fine. It's kind of part of what we do. And the problem is, of those 50% of managers that are around, a lot of those people aren't particularly good. But, you know, when you get a good manager come along, that they're worth their weight in gold, you know. So that makes it, that can be difficult if a manager doesn't know what they're doing, that's difficult because they get in the way. And they kind of tend to do things just for the sake of it or justify their position. Whereas it doesn't need to be like that, you know, but it does happen occasionally. Yeah, I mean, and then sometimes PR is difficult because if the PR campaign's not going like you want it, you have to have words with the PR and say, look, you know, what's going on, you know. Some PRs genuinely have tried and it hasn't worked, and some haven't tried. But you still got to pay them.
Yeah. And you guys know what it's like. I mean, media, obviously, over the past sort of 5 years, it's just shrunk, you know, in terms of like printed media, and as Wes said before, in terms of opportunities at like Radio 1 and getting that exposure and those kind of channels, like opportunities have slimmed down slightly. So it can be really difficult with media, and that can be challenged because obviously we want the best exposure for an artist and a campaign, and that's what they're after. So, you know, yeah, there can be some tricky conversations in that sense. But we never shy away from having those conversations because we're part of the team and we want to just be upfront, and having like an honest, trustworthy relationship with the band is really important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And speaking of campaigns and kind of the word exposure used quite a bit there, in the early days of this podcast, one thing that became such a running theme was how bands really are looking to release music in the future. I mean, now a lot more we're seeing bands release the odd singles now and again that will eventually go on the record, but really to kind of get the exposure of being on Spotify playlists and stuff like that. How have you seen with Hassle Records that difference of releasing? I mean, is that something you're now on a day-to-day thing, is trying to get bands more on playlists and that kind of thing leading up to a record? I mean, how do you see that side of things now?
At the moment, that's the main thing, isn't it? Trying to get playlists, to be honest. Because if you get decent playlists, you see the streams go up quite quickly, and that brings extra exposure. Okay, I've used the word again, but anyway, that brings you more plays. It brings income, which is a good thing. We've adapted the way we do things because of the streaming age, but we still put albums out because it still feels like a relevant way of doing it. And I mean, you know, also, if you put an album out and people like it and buy it, it is still the main driver for income for a band now. Streaming for metal and punk bands is not that big at the moment. You know, it's not... A million streams sounds like a lot, but that's only £3,500 in million streams. So it's not that much money, actually.
No.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
Those playlists kind of can almost work like word of mouth does as well, because obviously if you get on those plays with other similar artists, which, you know, there's a fan base that you're trying to appeal to. If you're on a playlist with those artists and then you start appearing in release radar of people that have listened to those other bands, then it's kind of like that word of mouth. It's like you're getting to those other fan bases, which in a development kind of stage is exactly what you're trying to do.
Yeah, on many levels, I kind of see it more as but the modern version of radio. I mean, not to knock radio, you know, I've worked in it for years prior to this and everything, and it's still a key force for a lot of bands. But it seems that our streaming platforms now are the way a lot of people discover bands, and it helps really bands get that exposure to go to be able to play festivals, bigger tours, support slots. I mean, I've heard many stories of a band asking for booking support, how many Spotify streams do you do a month?
Yeah, no, completely. Everybody's looking at that. When we try and get radio play, a lot of the producers will say, well, what's your streaming app?
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's kind of a arse about face, really. I mean, especially the BBC, because as I say, you know, they're not a commercial station. They shouldn't be looking at that. But anyway.
It kind of feels like that's the new... It's like beforehand, everyone used to look at how many Facebook likes fans had. Whereas now it's, yeah, how many monthly listens do you have? It feels like that's the new Facebook likes, basically. The first thing people look at.
Yeah, what a wild situation. Like, they won't play it on radio until it's had a couple of million Spotify plays. It almost doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like radio should be breaking some of these artists for them to then go on to have those streams.
Well, it'd be not. I mean, it's good that it's great that people like you guys are around, because that's how people really love music and find new bands, you know. But they're going to be. It's important. I mean, the BBC does have a network of introducing that do play local bands still. So that's really, really good. I think it's really, really important. I think one of the problems now as well is compared to 20 years ago, there's so much for the younger generation to do in terms of gaming. And gaming is so big now, isn't it? Music's a slight distraction compared to where it was 20 years ago, I think. But no less important to us. And hopefully that changes as people get older as well, I think.
Yeah. No, I was just because I've noticed still in years how much vinyl especially has become something I've been so much more interested in. And if there's a band or a record coming out that I really want to listen to, I'd rather get it on record first and listen to it that way before going on Spotify and all these different platforms.
Yeah, we see those two things running alongside each other, definitely. And I think people are a bit more aware now that if piracy is still an issue, actually. You'd be surprised how much piracy is still around. But I think people are a bit more aware now that if they do not pay for a band's music, that band will not exist. So it's your choice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, I guess while talking about vinyl, we should just talk about the 15 by 15.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, Morg, go on,
Well, on October 30th, you're going to be releasing our 15 incredible records of the label's history. Talk to us about some of them. I mean, why some of these records in particular? I'm sure they bring back so many memories looking back to some iconic albums you've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, look, Juliet Lewis was easy because it was the first one. It's never been on vinyl. We Are the Ocean, we had a good run with them. It's, you know, a brilliant band that nearly made it. That record's not been on vinyl before. Lonely the Brave, there's an extra disc on that one because one part of that release didn't come out on vinyl, so that's been big for us. That was an easy one to do. Some of the bands we've worked with, we don't have the license for anymore, so we didn't actually ask for one or two. Like Alkaline Trio, we tried to get Crimson, we couldn't get it. We're still very friendly with Vagrant, don't get me wrong, I'm not having a go at Vagrant. They're just like, look, we've got our plans, we can't let you have it, you know, so that's fine. And we wanted it to be a cross-section of older bands, you know, the previous bands, but some of the new bands as well that are actually really important to us and that's growing, you know?
Yeah, I think that getting a mix of old and new is something that we wanted to do. And also we wanted to just kind of try and show the different sides of the bands that we've worked with, I think. Like the sort of spectrum of bands, you know, to have like a Juliet in there, but to also have like a Trash Talk at the same time, like a Press Club and a Cancer Bat. So yeah, we kind of wanted just to show that the kind of variety of music that we've worked with, but also, yeah, showing that old and new. Some stuff that hasn't been on vinyl, and some stuff that probably people never knew that we worked on, but at the same time, kind of trying to flag some of the new stuff that we that we really want to shout about as well.
Yeah, what's the been the reaction to from a band's point of view as well? Because as you said, a lot of these now are bands you're working with, but ones that you haven't worked with in a while at the same time.
I mean, everybody's been very supportive, to be honest. Like We Are The Ocean, they've all got sort of day jobs now. Dan works for All Power, and yeah, they've all been posting out and, you know, supporting what we do. Some of them are doing interviews to different PR press as well. So, you know, everybody's pretty supportive, to be honest.
Yeah, we are open to have, I guess, Dan or Liam or one of the boys from We Are The Ocean on soon as part of this, like, Hassle special we're doing. So
I think it'd be interesting to hear, because obviously when we signed We Are The Ocean, Alfie was 17 and the others were like 18 and 19, so they're very young. Alfie started touring when he was 15.
That's crazy.
I think it'd be very interesting to hear that period of time, you know, how they came through. And did the Blackout Must Have toured with We Are The Ocean?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did a few tours with them, I think.
We did.
Yeah, our biggest headline tour. We took them out. We took them and Canterbury out. Yeah, so I don't know if there's any outstanding fees or anything out from the label, but we could discuss that when we finish anyway. And we'll talk about me sending you my new band stuff as well. We did a couple of We Are The Ocean tours. We took them out with a band called From First To Last as well. I think we took them out. We took them a couple of times with Dan and then a couple of times post-Dan as well, I think. But yeah, great boys, great band, great music.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But kind of celebrating these 15 years, and you've talked very passionately about a lot of the current roster you have right now. Brutus is definitely one we're huge fans of. We saw him live at 2000 Trees Festival last year. But we've got to talk about Foxjaw as well, because they've just released their debut album. It seems that that's gone down an absolute treat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yes, their debut album, we've been working with them for maybe about 18 months now. We did an EP beforehand, first thing that we did with them. And then we've just been working towards this debut album. And of course, this came, you know, mid-lockdown and with the current situation we have. And I think a lot of people looked at potentially moving albums, release dates, etc. We kind of felt like it was the right thing just to put it out. There's a lot of people out there looking for new music at the moment. And although they couldn't tour around the album release, you know, hopefully that'll be coming back sooner rather than later. So, this one's been great for us. We love those guys. They're so creative. They're such a unique band. And it's been great to see the reaction, you know, from the radio bits we've had, from the media coverage. And it kind of feels like actually it was kind of a good time to release it, because it feels like people have had more time to listen to new music recently. So actually, we've seen it just grow. Like since release, we're constantly seeing reorders come in. We're constantly seeing more people talk about it. We're seeing more radio play come in, more live offers for next year. So it's it's one that we're really, really happy about. And we love those guys. So hopefully it's the start of a really long relationship with them.
I mean, I can't really add much to that except the fact that it's hard to classify what kind of band they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've had that trouble.
I don't know. What is it? But that's fine. You know, we're fine with that. I mean, again, in Germany, the German press has been unbelievable. I mean, like, brilliant. I mean, UK's been good, but Germany's been brilliant.
Wow.
They've only played one show there. It's crazy.
I found that, the Germans, they normally like something a little bit just off. If it's just off, they will devour it. Either that or ska punk. If it's ska punk, they'll have a look at that as well.
It's funny, actually. We've been working with a PR company in Germany for 10 years now called Star Cult. They do all our stuff. And those guys are total legends. And they always deliver for us. And unfortunately, we're not going to Reaper Barn. We usually go to Reaper Barn in September every year.
Oh, nice. Oh. Yeah.
And we usually have three or four bands on. And we usually have like two or three nights out with the lads from Biker and Dennis from Star Cult. And it's just bloody brilliant laugh.
Yeah, I'd imagine taking Foxjaw to the Reaper Barn might be a weird decision. Yeah, a crazy decision. You might never see him again.
That is true.
Cool.
And what else coming up now is, do you have ready to...
we've got a tricky position now because a couple of our bands can't actually bloody record because of the countries they're in have gone to big lockdown.
Mm.
So it's proven quite difficult for us to schedule a few things. So there's that. We've got a new band called Glue, who are a three-piece from Littlehampton. And they're a bit more, I mean, I don't know, they're, how would you describe them, Mies? They're not...
It's maybe more like garage rock,
yeah,
or garage punk kind of vibe.
More like than the normal stuff that we do.
Okay.
And they're great, brilliant sense of humour. So, and the thing is, we were talking to them yesterday actually, because the album's delivered now, and we're just getting the final mixes in. And they're like, "Well, do we push the album back to the end of next year?" And we're like, "Well, I don't know. If we do that, it could be very crowded. So that might be a band that literally have done pretty much no gigs that we have to put an album out for."
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy to hear the kind of that planning aspect, especially in these times, because you know, you said that, like, if they pushed it back a year, that might be so crowded because so many other bands are doing that. There's so many albums already planned to go out that year. But then at the same time, I know a lot of bands are worried putting music out now because they can't tour it. It's trying to find that middle ground.
Yeah, completely. It's complete. There is no right answer. For Fox, sure, it's been the right thing to do. Definitely. It's worked really well. As me said, it's gone down really well. Maybe people are listening to a bit more new music because they've got a bit more time. So it's worked for Foxjaw. So hopefully it'll work for Glue as well.
Yeah, it's a really difficult balance to strike because also you like you know what it's like. Bands, if they're away for too long, can soon be sort of forgotten. And it's important that we don't go through a period where they don't release anything, especially like a developing band. So we want to try and build momentum again towards an album release, and we just kind of hope there'll be some live activity that's possible around then. But as I said, there's no right or wrong answer at the moment. We kind of just have to make a plan and stick with it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just to pick your guys' brains, so just a couple more things now before you go. Is there any other real advice you'd give to any people in bands listening to this, or musicians or stuff, trying to really break it in music at the moment? I mean, is there any little thing that you would really suggest they look at or try and come to deals with or anything like that?
It's all about the planning. Like we said, you know, it's all about the planning. And short and long-term planning, you know, what can you do today? And then what can you do in a year's time? And where do you want to be in 5 years? And how do you do that? And it's all about thinking about that carefully and sensibly, I think. And then never giving up, really, if you can never give up, you might make it, sort of thing. I mean, look, it's difficult. I'm not being blasé about it. Sorry, you know, it's difficult.
Yeah. And as well, I would love if both of you could tell us the best memory or story or anything like that you've had or you love to share with people from your time in Hassle Records. I mean, there must be something that really comes to your mind that when you look back and have that kind of 5 minutes to think about all the crazy stuff you've been able to achieve, that really goes, oh, that's one of the memories that really stick out for me. And I tell people. Well,
in the early days, I mean, Mies has heard this a lot, so he's probably bored with this one, but we were trying to sign My Chemical Romance. We had a chance, and they came in the office, and I took him out for egg and chips. And signed somebody else.
Wow.
Egg
and chips, yeah. And yeah. And it's funny, actually, because the label I went with, it was the first album, what's that called? You Brought Me... Your Love, I Bring You a Bullet.
Yeah.
So it was that album. And the guy, the manager at the time, called me and said, "Look, you know, guys loved you, but the label that signed it were Universal funded, and they spent more on their airfares than you did on your offer."
Wow.
Bloody hell.
Problem is, that's because that's all the money I've got.
Yeah.
I don't have any more money.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, "Oh, yeah." I spoke to the manager, and the manager was like, "Oh, yeah, they had egg ham and chips with Universal." Yeah, so close. One side portion away. Bagger.
For me, actually, it's quite easy. One of the things that really turned out for me is my very first day of working in this role in Hassel after my internship when I came back. Very first day was when it was the release of the last Cancerbats album that we did, Dead Set on Living.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they did 6 shows around London all in the same day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, did the pentagram. So we had the pentagram. They managed to make that thing look like a pentagram.
So, yeah, we started off at Old Blue Last at 11 in the morning and finished back there at 11 at night. And that was my first day. So that was a perfect introduction.
Yeah, that's a long first day. That's wow.
It's only gone down from there.
Yeah, he's still trying to chasing the dragon for that high again. I need 7 gigs in one day. 7 gigs, come on. A last question from me is, I guess if you could, well, 2 questions, I guess. Is there anyone you've seen right now who's not signed that excites you, and who would be the dream sign-in for you guys?
Look, I love bands like Clutch and Deftones, those kind of bands. I used to work for Muse. If I could have signed Muse, that would have been good for obvious reasons. Going forward, there's a band from Horsham I really like called Blue Stragglers, and we're off to see them. Give them a listen. They're actually doing a gig. It'll be the first gig that I've been to since lockdown in Horsham, like 200 cap venue, 50 people only. So I'm going to go and see them in October. Mate?
It feels like there's loads of good stuff around at the moment. There's a band from the Midlands that Dan on his rock show on Radio 1 and Alex Baker have been supporting heavily, a band called Myok. They just put a new track out, just self-released. I think it's brilliant. It's like early biffy kind of stuff, just a 2-piece. Yeah, that's great. And there's another band from the US called Cuffed Up, just put their first EP out. I think I just found them on like a US radio station. But that's brilliant. The EP's brilliant. Really excited about what they might do next.
We're actually speaking to the manager after this call.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, then. Fingers crossed. That's
absolutely
that's super cool. Yeah.
There he is right now.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah.
Couldn't make it up.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm good. More?
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you guys so much. I think this has just been a great insight into how kind of record labels work and the last decade and a half for you guys. Thanks so much for taking the time. I'm very excited to finally get my hands on some of these records on vinyl now.
Yes.
Brilliant. Look, thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Really enjoyed it. You're
listening to Sabbath Podcast! Lovely stuff.
Yes. Lovely, 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 lovely.
Hey, up, you go Northern.
Oh,
yeah, thank you very much to Wes and Mies from the mighty Hassel Records for coming on and, sharing their stories and insight. And, yeah, it was a really, really good chat. Yeah, learned something new. So,
yeah, I quite like it when we do a little episodes a little bit different, getting different aspects of the music industry now and again. Some great, great insight into what goes on. But as well, I mean, being that close to singing My Chemical Romance, taking them for egg and chips. What? That's a weird sentence, isn't it?
Should have been I'm egg and chips.
That would have sealed the deal.
Would have sealed the deal. Yeah. If I know Gerard Way, mm-hmm. I'm pronouncing it the Welsh-British way. If I know Gerard Way, like I think I do, and me and him are like this, you can't see this because on a podcast, but that's me crossing my fingers. Me and Gerard are like this, right? He would have definitely signed that if they'd put beans on a side. Egg, chips and beans. Oh, he's nuts for some beans, is our Jezza, which is what I call him.
Well, you told him as well, so you should definitely know what he had for catering every day.
I literally got up at 7 a.m. every day on our tour, went into catering, and just stood there with my eyes, you can't see it, as wide as possible, right, just staring on the hopes that he would come in and then eat, and I'd be like, egg, chips, and beans every day. Apparently, my lawyers have told me to say, Gerard, if you listen to this, sorry, I didn't actually watch you eat, and I have no idea what your preferences on food. So all of that was bollocks. But anyway, thanks again to Hassle Records. We had a lovely, lovely, lovely time with those guys. And yeah, thank you very much to everybody involved. We've got it all sorted out. And yeah, we're excited. I tell you what we should do. We should try and guess some of those bands that they're doing records with to come on.
We should
have a chat. So,
we should, because you can pre-order those vinyl reissues right now at hasslerecords.com. 15x15, some of their favourite artists they've worked with over the years. But yeah, you're right, Sean. There's some belters on there from Lonely the Brave, We're the Ocean. We had 4 Years Strong on last week. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go and check it out.
That was a very funny episode. I'd like to know what happened to Casey.
Yeah, what happened to him?
So let's get somebody from Casey on and we'll have a chat about it, is it? I'd like that. We'll try that for soon then.
Yeah, let's do that. And you can let us know who you would like on a future episode of Sapling Podcast by heading over to our Twitter and Instagram pages and give us a cheeky message at Sapling Pod.
Yes, that's at SAPPENINPOD, at SAPPENINPOD. Let us know guests, ideas, topics you want to talk about. Anything, really. Just let us know. If you hate the podcast, which probably makes more, we might get more hate than we will like. If you like the podcast, please let us know, because that's nice as well. Especially when we're having sad days, which seems to be a running occurrence for us. Occurrence. Oh, we've both gone wrong on saying things today.
Makes a change, but yes, send us nice messages at Sapling Pod. Let us know what guests you want in the future. If it's a different kind of topic, so different kinds of guests, like record labels or anything in the future you'd like us to have a bash at as well. But if you love all the madness between Sean and I, why not get even more of that via our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapling. There's loads of bonus content on there, rambles, videos, discussions, arguments, memes. The list goes on, and you can help get this podcast bigger and better than ever before and make new best friends while doing it.
Yes, and even do a secret marriage, like we mentioned prior to the chat we just had with Wes and Mies, of Mitch and Emily, who got married secretly yesterday in a church in Nottingham Town Centre. So, not a church. But yeah, congratulations to them. I was absolutely chuffed. I would have sent them a voice note, but you can hear my voice, and it was worse yesterday. So I sent them a message as soon as I seen it saying, wow, congrats, guys, this is unbelievable. But also, we were invited to the wedding next year, so...
Yeah, so congratulations to them. I'm very happy. Love the two of them very, very much. But also, could have invited me and Sean. We could have done a podcast out of it, surely. Like...
If they'd asked, we could have got anointed and we could have literally married them.
Imagine that. Imagine you and me. And
right then. New Patreon tier. If you want to support the thing, if you want to support the podcast and the boys, and you're thinking of getting married soon, give us a shout and let us ordain. Let us marry you. Which is literally the kiss of death, I'd imagine. So... maybe not do that. But anyway, check out patreon.com/sapling. Congratulations to Emily and Mitch. We love you very, very much. And we cannot wait to party with you next year when it's safe, if we're ever allowed out again.
Yes. Party on, Wayne. Or in this case, Mitch and Emily. But speaking of our Patreon... there's loads of people in there we'd like to thank. So if you head over to the description, there's loads of names in there that mean a lot to us. But Sean is now going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon community. Those are the top tiers and the weird names that they have edited themselves into to have a laugh at our expense.
Yes, so... and I'm sorry for this because my voice is ruined from yelling all day yesterday, but...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you so, so much. And I genuinely, genuinely mean this. And on a proper emo day, thank you so much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Janelle Skeletons on Society Casting, Amadine Urbano. I, Sean Smith, formally apologised to Sarah James for saying she looks like Marilyn Manson last week. Sorry. Despite it being factually correct. Nathan Croshaw, all Kelly Young wanted for her birthday was a new Raiders song, Your Wish Is My Command. Dilly, everything has turned to shit, fuck yeah, Grimwood. Ohio is for Emo Chester. Michael Engler, Liam Connolly, Drew Styles, The Cult of David Dickinson, Kelly Irwin, Dana Lasnova, The Max in Dancing, Champion Campion, Kate Gentleman Prefer Ginger's Puttock. Jonathan Phillips, discovered by the Germans in 1904, they named it Destructobot, which means, of course, in German, means a whale's vagina. Simon Amos, I'm sorry, Ollie Amesbury, but Destructobot is available to purchase and stream right now. Kate Stevenson, Samuel Griffiths, Jenny Munster, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Kelly, you know it's time to get down when Raiders bring the beat back, Mallory. Becky Andy, Erin Howard, Louis Cook, Marcy Jacobson, Jason Heredia, Sandra Kuacek, Mike Cunningham, Charles, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Tallulah Grant, Stuart McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Lydia Henson, Tony Michael, Jenny Robbins, Sharif Awadali, Nuala Clark, and Craig Harris. Everything has turned to shit.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah, thank you very much to all those people. Thank you very much also for getting the Raiders plugs in, because that really helps the fact that I get to mention us again. Please check out Raiders Band UK on socials and stuff. Raiders UK on streaming sites if you want to listen to the songs we've put out so far. Two of them are real good. And we've only put two out, so that's 100% record so far on good songs.
Nice. I agree. Completely agree.
Also, last week, Bring Me the Horizon and Youngblood brought a song out, which I thought was really, really good as well. So I just wanted to get that in now.
Okay.
Out of the blue.
It was out of the blue. But thank you again to everyone involved in our Patreon community. We love you very, 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 very much. If you get married secretly, just give us a heads up, innit? And Tidy, Sean, stream Destructobot by Raiders now on all streaming platforms. So is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No. New video for Destructobot. Search Destructobot on YouTube and Raiders and you should find it. That's if it's gone September the 12th or if it is September the 12th. If it's September the 11th right now, I'm sorry. Video's out tomorrow. Love you. My voice is knackered as well as my head, so I'm just going to go now.
Okay.
Right, see you later. Sapnin!
Sapnin! Thanks for listening.
My voice has got worse as this has gone on. Like, I can't... I can't get over it.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.